Bill King is the king of college football, and his sample size is large. Just ask him.
Previews has wrapped up the Pac-12. He's now dipping his toes in the Big Ten. Brett, just to look back, any conclusions about the Pac-12 that occurred to you during your studies that stand out?
Hey, Bill. Good morning. So I focused on the Pac-12. I'm moving over to the Big Ten next. A lot to cover here with both conferences. You know, with the Big Ten, it's a conference that people like to just focus on Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State, but there's a lot of great storylines that I found digging in deeper. I'm at the bottom of the conference from last year, so looking at great pass offense, looking at, you know, Rutgers close to a bowl game, bouncing back in the win column. The Illinois rushing attack really stood out to me. They're starting to work on the pass game a little bit, bring in Tommy Vito from Syracuse. Lots to look so far.
Tell you what, Patton, would you see if we can get a cleaner line there? Yeah, Patton, check that out. See if we can get that cleaned up a little bit. Let me know when you have him back. Brett Ciancia with us, Pick Six Previews. Concluding the Pac-12, now in the Big Ten. I guess next it'll be in some order, the Big 12 and the SEC. Brett, do we have you back? Not yet. Okay. Let me know when we have him. Got various questions here on Twitter for Brett. Brett Ciancia with us. Brett, just looking back now that you finished the Pac-12, anything jump out at you that was unexpected?
Well, yeah, good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me. Hopefully this connects better this time. The Pac-12 is a conference that doesn't get covered as much as you'd like nationally. So I really enjoy getting into these programs. Usually only hear about the USC's and Oregon out there. But, a lot of interesting storylines, a lot of coaching changes at the top of the league. It's rare to see all the power programs going through coaching changes at the same time. You have Oregon, Washington, and USC all going through changes there. Second-year coaching bonus from Arizona stood out to me. Jed Fish, you know, they went 1-11 last year, a huge transition year. Lands a top 25 recruiting class, so I was intrigued by that. Utah's got so much force coming back. I mean, they're probably still, to me, the favorites to win the South. I know that USC is surging up the list right now through the transfer portal, really accelerating their revival under Lincoln Riley. So Washington State, I'm really intrigued to see their defense. It's a variation of the air raid, bringing in more RPO. There's storylines everywhere. Oregon State, really intrigued by them, the way they're building that program. And it's a very veteran roster. Jonathan Smith had them perfect last year in Research Stadium, first time since 2000. So, I mean, I find storylines at all 12 of these programs and really dug into it in the book.
West Coast Sooner has a question for you outside of the leagues you're talking about. Your thoughts on Texas now. Ajay Hall, the transfer from Alabama, apparently is no longer even listed. So not only was he basically removed at Alabama, but it sounds like something's already happened to him in Texas. Very gifted wide receiver, but apparently can't conform to any kind of tutoring or coaching. But he wants your thoughts on the offense, its power, and he thinks that the defensive line, again, this is a Sooner talking, the defensive line at Texas, he thinks can be a strength for them too.
Well, that's kind of scary if a Sooner is complimenting a Longhorn that much in spring. So that's I'm interested to see that once I switch over to the Big 12. High level without much research on Texas. I know that their pass game might improve here, at least the deep ball. I saw that Quinn Ewers deep ball from their spring game. That was in the air for 10 seconds. It's unbelievable. So And then you look at their receiving core, I think that he's going to unlock the talent there. It's probably a pretty potent offense, I'd imagine. Defensively, yeah, that's been up and down for them over the years. I'd like to see what he's talking about there with the defensive line, but just haven't covered them yet. So we'll get there soon. I'll get you a better answer on that. But Texas, you know, I'm glad to be here. They always have the blue chip talent stockpiled there. It's a matter of the coaching staff and unlock that talent, coach them up with a good scheme and develop that talent. So, you know, the underlying is always there, as they say. So we'll see.
Topwater Assassin over in South Carolina. Have you guys heard anything about the quarterback competition at Clemson? DJ's dad, who is very active on Twitter, never mentions DJ or Clemson anymore. Well, I do know that Dabo Swinney sat out of the spring and out of the game, and the Klubnik kid out of Austin, Texas, five-star, looked really good, but he said, look, DJ is our quarterback, so... Brett, the way this is going to materialize is they're going to get in the season. If DJ is effective, then he gets to keep it. And if not, they'll go to the freshman. I think that's where we're at. I don't think there's any additional news.
Yeah, that's kind of left it off, too. I covered Clemson so far. And you know, when you look at last year, they had huge expectations coming into 2021.
Patton, you'll have to see if we can clean that up. Why is this a thing these days? I don't get this. I mean, we go years pretty clean with these connections, right? What's the latest? Is why are we having problems here? I do a show in Arkansas every Wednesday. Just a little segment, right? Good friends over there. Remember Ty Richardson? Ty lined that up. Ty used to work here with us before he moved back to his home. And it's clean every time. I've never hit anything. Patton, do we have him back? Okay. We've got him back. Brett Ciancia with us. You were talking about coming out of the spring, and you've obviously already studied the ACC, but your thoughts on the conversation piece about coming into last season and the expectations.
Yeah, sorry about the connections. We'll work on that. But with Clemson, yeah, you thought that DJU would take that big step from freshman, the first year starting to second year starting, and we didn't really see that. He actually regressed significantly, you know, missed a lot of open throws, a lot of overthrows, more interceptions than touchdowns. So I think it was a legit battle this spring, and it's going to continue into fall camp with the five-star Cade Klubnik there. Number one rated dual threat in the country, comes from that Westlake, Texas factory that produced Drew Brees and Nick Foles and Sam Ellinger. So, and then for a body comp, I mean, ACC network analyst Eric McClain, he compared him to Deshaun Watson, body type. So I know that's a huge comparison to live up to, but a lot of buzz around this new guy coming in. So I think it's going to be a legit battle in the fall camp.
Is there any team, now that you're in the Big Ten, that you're considering a surprise like Michigan State was? Michigan State a year ago was a league surprise and also a national surprise, I think, for everybody. Is there a team that could be of that same ilk?
Well, so far I've studied about half the league, and it was the bottom half. But there are two teams that really flew under the radar as nine-win programs last year, Minnesota and Purdue. I kind of had to double check that win count. It sounds crazy to think of, but and they both did it in completely opposite ways. This is why I love college football. You can really get to the same endpoint by doing a lot of different schemes and playbooks. I mean, with Purdue, they were the most pass-heavy team in the country besides Mike Leach at his Air Raid at Mississippi State. So Purdue was pass-heavy. It was with Aiden O'Connell. He took over as the starting quarterback, rose all the way up from eighth on the depth chart originally, a walk-on, to surge up there to start for Purdue and win a lot of ball games. You know, it was all pass. They had three defensive coordinators, kind of a co defensive coordinator, and it worked. So they're intriguing to me. A little bit of roster turnover, but it's a solid program under Jeff Brohm. And then Minnesota, they did it the exact opposite way. They barely threw the ball ever. The fewest passing attempts besides the service academies, Army, Navy, Air Force. So they were strictly a run program, and did so with five different backs going over 100 yards, as they were hit by injuries at the running back position. But now you get Tanner Morgan back for like a fourth year as a starter, Mo Ibrahim, an All-American favorite running back, and they make the coordinator change, bringing Kurt Sriracha back, who, of course, had that success there on their 2019 team. So a rare, you know, the stars are aligning in Minnesota for a fourth season, and they could make some gains in a really competitive Big Ten West.
Your next leagues, once you get through the Big Ten, are Big 12 and SEC. In what order do you do those?
I'll probably go Big 12 next, and then SEC last. The SEC has so much coverage. I mean, it's the most coverage out there, so I really want extra time to dig through that and really get that right. I think you'll see more playoff contenders out of the SEC, so I got to hammer that home at the end. But the Big Ten, I'm really excited about, too. Like I said, I'm halfway through. I still have all the contenders, really, to deal with in the Big Ten. I'm looking at Ohio State, Michigan, of course, at the top. Michigan State, we'll see if that was a one-year wonder or if this has some staying power. Penn State, what's going on over there? I mean, they're only 500 the last 2 years, despite all that roster talent, all that NFL talent. So it's a really crowded Big Ten East. Maryland has an incredible passing attack, and they have one of the best receiver stables in the country by bringing in Jacob Copeland from Florida. So the East is just really top-heavy and crowded. Over in the West, I've covered Minnesota, Purdue, and Illinois, and then I want to talk about Wisconsin, Nebraska, and Iowa towards the top there. Northwestern's really struggling. I don't think you're going to see that bounce back that usually happens year to year. You know, they go from worst to first and vice versa. I don't see much over there at Northwestern.
Brett Ciancia with us, Pick Six Previews. Just quickly, and I know you will get to the Big 12 here soon, but Baylor all the way, a rise to the top, and they win the league. So that was a surprise. The fans are always looking for a surprise out there. Brad Powers, who's on with us Friday, says, and he's not picking him to win the league, but he thinks Kansas State can make another move in the upwards direction inside that league. He says, watch out for them.
Yeah, I mean, with Kansas State, they're kind of an outlier program in the Big 12 when you think of the spread offenses, the passing attacks and everything. They're old-fashioned. They're hard-nosed. It's a power run game. It's ball control. It's a bunch of walk-ons and two-star, three-star athletes that are developed by their coaching staff out there, and give Coach Klieman a lot of credit. He's building it in the same mold as his North Dakota State Bison dynasty, and it's working. So they're coming off, I think it's 8 wins last year. They beat LSU in the bowl. I know LSU had a lot of guys out in that game, but still looked the part. They bring in Adrian Martinez, the dynamic quarterback at Nebraska. I know that he had a lot of fans and also detractors. I was a fan of his. I think it was really gutsy what he did in Nebraska. Got up, he was hit so often. So I think that's a plus to their offense. Deuce Vaughn in the backfield for them looks like the next Darren Sproles, you know, a little shifty running back there that can do it all. So, yeah, without digging in deeper to the Big 12 yet, yeah, that's a solid program, and I wouldn't count them out.
And you're right. They are based on toughness and physicality. They live up to it. Kansas is too now. But Brad said watch out for Kansas State. Obviously, I think most are going to pick Oklahoma to win the league, and then we'll see what happens there. Brett Ciancia, Pick Six Previews. Hey, Brett, tell everybody how they can get your content. Did we lose? Okay. Let me know if you get him back. We're running a little low on time, but just Pick Six Previews. Yeah, follow him on Twitter, and all his content will be right there for you at Pick Six SIX Previews. Hey, Brett, I was just going to wind it up with you. Tell everybody how they can get all your info.
Thanks again. We'll go landline connection next week for better connection. My gosh. Sorry about that to the listeners, but Pick Six Previews on Twitter, picksixpreviews.com, and the season preview book's coming out late June, early July. So it's the 11th annual book. It's a one-man show. I'm covering all 65 Power 5 teams, so looking forward to it.
Good stuff, man. See you next week.
Thanks, Bill.